Praise the Lord, everyone.
Praise the Lord.
It's wonderful to be here tonight, and we are going to open with a prayer before we do anything else. Father in heaven, we come before thee this night, thanking thee for thy goodness, thanking thee, O God, for this day that thou hast given us, thanking thee for this opportunity to come before thee to be in thy presence. And I pray, O God, that thy Spirit would be here this night. I pray that thy Holy Ghost would be upon each and every one of us. Help us, O God. Give us the ability to truly worship thee in spirit and in truth. We ask for thy blessing to be upon this service. Let each and everything we do here this night be pleasing in thy sight. And we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we are going to open our chorus books to begin with tonight to number 144, and we're going to sing We Have Come Into This House, number 144.
We have come into this house and gathered in His name to worship Him. We have come into this house and gathered in His name to worship Him. Christ.
Jesus. Well, we are going to turn now to number 83 and sing From the Rising of the Sun, number 83.
From the rising of the sun to the going down thereof, the name of the Lord is to be praised. From the rising of the sun to the going down thereof, the name of the Lord is to be from
Yes, it feels good to worship the Lord. Praise God. And that is something that we can do anywhere we are. And it's something that we really should be doing constantly. Let's turn to number 94 and sing, "Wherever I am, I'll praise Him. Whenever I can, I'll praise Him." Number 94.
Wherever I am, I'll praise Him. Whenever I can, I'll praise Him. For His love surrounds me like a sea. I'll praise the name of Jesus. Lift up the name of Jesus. For the name of Jesus lifted. Wherever I am, I'll praise Him. Wherever I can, I'll praise Him. For His love surrounds me like a sea. I'll praise the name of Jesus. Lift up the name of Jesus. For the name of Jesus lifted me. Wherever I am, I'll praise Him. Whenever I can, I'll praise Him. For His love surrounds me like a sea. I'll praise the name of Jesus. Lift up the name of Jesus. For the of Jesus lifted me. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you. Lift up your name, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Oh, praise you, Jesus. Oh, praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Praise God. Praise the Lord. And yes, Jesus is worthy of all our praise because He is Lord. Let's turn to number 72 and sing, "For He is Lord." Number 72.
For He is Lord. He is Lord. And He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. For He is Jesus.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you. We're going to turn now to number 130 and sing He's My Lord and My God, number 130. He's my Lord and my God. He's not just a stranger to me. As the veil, it was easy to see. He's my Lord and my God. He's my Lord and my God. He's not just a stranger to me. That's wonderful to know our God, isn't it? He's not a stranger to us. In fact, He is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, we are going to take up the collection now. Bill, could you help us with that, please? Thank you, sir. Father in heaven, we thank Thee this night for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings. We thank Thee, O God, for all Thy abundant blessings. We thank Thee for all that Thou hast done for us, for Thy sustaining power which has kept us for so many years. We know that we could not be here without Thy mercy and Thy grace, and we thank Thee for Thy guiding hand. We pray, O God, that Thou would continue to lead us in all things. Give us Thy great wisdom and how these funds be used for Thy purpose, for Thy glory, for the cause of Thy holy name, for we know that these funds belong to Thee. And we pray, O God, that Thou would bless the givers here this night and also bless those who are unable to give. We ask this and pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we do have a couple of things to pray about before we sing one more song. We're going to pray for Diane. She's not here tonight, and that's really unusual. She's almost always here on Wednesday night, but she's having some struggles with her blood sugar, and this time it was much too low, and she didn't think it was safe to drive here tonight, so she's not here, and I know she very much would like to get that blood sugar under control, so we're going to pray about that. And another thing I want to pray about, I want to pray for Joe and his family, Joe and Jenny and everyone in that group. You know, it's really amazing. Of course, we've been praying for Joe's dad for a long time, and he's been battling cancer, and he did pass away on Sunday, and I thought this was amazing. He passed away about 5 minutes after I prayed for him on Sunday, so I was thankful at least that we could get one more prayer in for him, and we're just going to pray that God would be with that family and comfort them. So we're going to bring these petitions before the Lord right now. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer this evening on behalf of Diane, praying, O God, that thou would reach down from heaven with thy healing hands, with thy healing touch. Let thy healing virtues flow. We pray, O God, that thou would touch her. Let her feel thy touch right now. Let her blood sugar stabilize. And we pray, O God, that thou would reach down from heaven by a mighty hand and heal her of these diabetes. And we pray, O God, that she would be completely delivered. We know that this is not too hard for thee. We know, O God, that thou art a deliverer, a mighty working God, we know that thou can do the impossible. We believe in thee. We have faith in thee. And we know that Diane believes on thee. So we pray, O God, that thou would reach down from heaven and touch her right now. We pray, O God, that thou would strengthen her body, deliver her from arthritis, deliver her from all pain. And we pray, O God, that she would be restored to full strength, that she would be healthier than ever. Let thy virtues flow here tonight. Let her feel thy touch even now as we pray for her. Help her, O God, to reach out in faith, believing on thee for strength and deliverance. And we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. And Father in heaven, we also bring Joe and his entire family before thee here this night. We know, O God, that it is a very sorrowful time when you lose a parent. We pray, O God, that thou would touch him and comfort him. Help him, O God, to draw nigh to thee for comfort. For we know, O God, that thou art our comforter. We pray, O God, that thou would move upon him, but with thy spirit, and help him to reach out to thee. And I pray that thou would talk to that entire family. Be with them and help them through this difficult time, we pray. And we ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, we are going to sing one more song before we turn this over to Shirley. And I notice she's got the maps out tonight, so she must be planning to use those. That's always interesting. Praise God. We're going to turn to number 157 in the chorus book and sing Open Our Eyes, Lord. Number 157. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus, to reach out and touch him and say that we
open our eyes.
Praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. And through faith, we can get to heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And I feel His presence here tonight. I know that He is here, and He promised to be wherever two or three are gathered together in His name. And guess what? That means He's here right now. Praise God. We are going to turn this over to Shirley now and see what the Lord has put on her heart. Praise God.
Praise the Lord. Praise our God. Amen. Praise the Lord. It certainly is wonderful to have our minds on the Lord, to be able to meditate, to think of Him, and rejoice. And, you know, I just think, you know, you talk to people, and, you know, a lot of times you realize they don't have understanding at all. And what a wonderful thing it is that we can acknowledge Him now while we are alive, while we still have breath, you know, that we know that He is Lord. And I just think of that as we sing that song, you know, this wonderful thing, this knowledge that God has given us, that we can now bow the knee to God and you know, oh wow, not be standing in His sight at one time and on that day, on that great judgment day, and be empty, you know, just standing there and not able to look up, I suppose, and you know, without any hope, because we have not acknowledged Jesus while we were alive. But thank God, oh, thank God that He has talked to us, that He has shown us a way, that He has drawn us by His Spirit. I mean, surely we can sit here in heavenly places. Surely we have something wonderful to praise the Lord about. You know, you think sometimes, I can't praise You enough, Lord. Oh, there's so much more. I can't do it enough. I can't do it deeply enough. But, oh, I'm going to try with my little being just to, you know, just reach out as I can, because, oh my, He is so worthy. He is King of Kings. He is Lord of Lords. He is the Creator. He's the one that made us. And, oh yes, He does desire worship. He does desire worship from His people. And praise the Lord, we can do it now. Yes, we can do it now. And God has showed us the way and how wonderful it is. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Really good to have Bill and Sue here again tonight. Too bad they have to journey on, but oh well, we can always hope. Praise the Lord. It is good, yes, for each and every one that is here tonight, and especially that God is here. Amen. That is a wonderful thought, that where two or three are gathered together in His name, there He is in our midst. That's a wonderful thought, you know. It is numbers that we're concerned about. It's, yes, it's hearts that can yield to the Lord. It's hearts that can acknowledge God. It's hearts that can worship Him in spirit and in truth. Amen. That's what it's all about. Praise the Lord. We're going to pray now. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Oh, God, we just thank You, Lord, for the little flock that gathers here, Lord. We thank You for Your people, Lord. And, oh, God, the blessing that You've called us, Lord. Oh, the things that You've shown us, Lord. Oh, Lord, Your word that You've given us. Oh, Lord, that we would not have to be ignorant. Oh, Lord, but we could call, oh, God, unto Thee and know that Thou would hear us. Oh, God, knowest that Thou carest, oh, Lord, for our inner thoughts and, oh, God, our very needs, oh, Lord, as individuals. I pray, oh God, that you'd move here tonight. I pray, oh Lord, that you'd use the simplicity of your word, oh Lord, to talk to our hearts. God, oh Lord, oh God, we know, oh God, it takes thy anointing. And I pray, oh Lord, that you'd use this word, that you'd anoint this word. Oh God, that you'd speak to our hearts, Lord, for we want to see Jesus, Lord. Oh God, it's a world that wants to see you, Jesus. Oh God, and they're so ignorant and they're so blind. But I pray, oh God, that you'd make us alive in you, Lord. I pray that you make us living testimonies, God, and a light. Oh, God, in the darkness, Lord. Oh, God, that you'd shine on our countenance. Oh, Lord, and oh, God, that there would be those that, oh, God, acknowledge thee while they still have breath. Oh, Lord, we thank you, Lord. And we just pray in your precious name, Lord, that you would move, Lord, that you meet the needs of your people, Lord, that you talk to our souls, Lord, that you get us ready, oh, Lord, to meet you, Lord. Oh, God, to be pure in your sight, to be right in thy sight, Lord, to be clothed with thy righteousness, Lord. I pray that you get us ready, Lord, and that you'd use this word in the name of Jesus by the power of the blood. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise our God. We're going to go to 1 Peter tonight, and I just thought maybe we would begin some studies in 1 Peter here. It's such an amazing book, in my opinion, and it just seems like it covers a lot of territory. So, I don't know, the Lord just has kind of put this on my heart for the moment, and let's just see how he uses this. Praise the Lord. But you turn with me now to 1 Peter, the very first chapter. And with his help, we'll begin this. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I will say, you know, you can really tell that, you know, Peter had obviously changed, you know, as he writes these beautiful words here in this first epistle. You think of the impetuous young man that he was when Jesus first called him, and you know how he grew in the Lord and how things begin to change in his life. And, you know, this is written, it is thought, around 65 A.D. and was during the time that Nero was emperor, and there was persecution going on at that time, and thought that perhaps that Paul and Peter met their deaths around, you know, similar times, maybe just a little after this epistle was written. But oh my, how beautiful it is, actually, these words of life. You know, this man so used of God and so given to the Lord. And so, oh wow, we read his words here, and verse says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. And I don't know, when you have these maps, I thought you just might want to have this pointed out, but these areas here, this is Asia, this part here on the map, and we have Bithynia and Pontus up here to the north. Galatia is kind of in the middle here. And here's the area of Cappadocia. And obviously, I mean, quite a bit of territory when you look at it, you know. Like, obviously, at this point, a lot of ground had been covered. And I'm not sure just who, you know, first came to this area and, you know, taught the people, a missionary to that area, if it was Paul, if it was Peter, or maybe even another one, you know, I'm not sure. But obviously, by the time that Peter is writing this epistle, about 65 AD, there were churches here, there were people here, there were saints in these areas. And, I mean, I marvel in those years how the gospel was carried and how, yes, it spread, and you know how the Lord used it, and you know it did take all the modern, you know, transportation means that we have these days, and it did take telephone, it did take email, you know, and all the things that are, you know, so used at this moment. But there they were, you know, often walking, I suspect, and you know, otherwise if it was by sea, then, you know, they were on boats, and, you know, it was much slower, I'm sure, in journeying, but, you know, yet they accomplished reaching the world. They accomplished. You don't go into all these parts. And, you know, I think it's amazing. And I do believe, even at this point, there's no telling what God can do. The gospel still has to be spread. It still has to be taught. It still has to be declared. And the Lord knows how to do it. And, you know, if we are unwilling to do our part, then God's going to use somebody else. I really believe that, you know, because there's going to be a people. There are going to be saints. There are going to be people at the coming, at the return of Jesus Christ. Amen. And wow, somehow it's going to happen. But here, back in this time, this is, you know, the early church yet. It had already spread. And I think it's so interesting here. It says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. And, you know, you think how Peter wasn't the first. You know, that 10th chapter of Acts when, you know, he had that vision. God was calling him to go to Cornelius, who was a Gentile. And, you know, it was something I think at that point Peter hardly dreamed that he would do, you know. He had this opinion. He was very Jewish, you know. And, you know, they didn't have dealings with Gentiles. But yet, you know, God was breaking all that down. He was breaking down the wall because, you know, the gospel was going to be spread, well, first at Jerusalem and then throughout all Judea and then into Samaria, but it was going to go unto the uttermost part of the earth. So God was beginning to do that. And I'm so thankful because, you know, it wasn't restricted to one race of people. It was going to be to all that the Lord our God shall call. Praise the Lord, that includes me. That includes you, you know. And no matter if we're Jewish or if we're Gentile, we can be included in the call of God. And, oh, yes, the spread of the gospel. And I'm so thankful, but how amazing it is. Here he's addressing this epistle. I don't know. He maybe wrote other epistles, you know, perhaps to the Church of Jerusalem and whatever all. But, you know, this one is addressed to those strangers that were scattered throughout that region. Amazing thing there. And so it is. He continues by saying in verse 2, here in 1 Peter, the first chapter, he says, elect. According to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Of course, he's acknowledging the election of grace there. These people, you know, not only had been reached, but they had been elected. You know, God had foreknew them before the foundation of the world. And he's acknowledging that in the second verse. And he talks about through sanctification of the Spirit. And, you know, that's a wonderful thing. The Lord takes our lives. You know, we come to him, in our contrariness and, all the things that, you know, we've been involved with as we walk this earth and, you know, didn't know the Lord. But somehow he gets a hold of our heart. And, somehow, you know, that drawing Spirit of God begins to woo us and we make way to Jesus Christ. And, it begins to work in our heart. And, yes, he sanctifies it. He sanctifies his people. That means that he makes them holy. Oh, he makes them pure. He sets them apart as his own people. Yes, you know, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that we should show forth the praises of him that has called us. Yes, praise the Lord. We who were once not a people are now the people of God. We who had once not obtained mercy now have obtained mercy. It's all by the goodness and graciousness of our Lord. But he sanctifies his people. Yes, he puts his Spirit within his people so that they can be set apart as his own peculiar treasure. And of course, you know, we know that it was written Oh, I believe in Romans, the 12th chapter, I beseech you, therefore, brother, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Oh, yes, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You know, we give our life over to the Lord, and, you know, not being conformed to this world, but letting that Holy Ghost come upon us so that we're not conformists. We're not, you know, like unto others, you know, of this world, but we become transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Oh, yes, he begins that process within our very being so that we can be like Jesus. And it's not something that happens overnight. You know, you just don't snap your fingers and all at once, you know, you're entirely different. But it's going to be a process. The Lord working in us and talking to us. And, you know, I mentioned, you know, Peter, as he wrote this epistle, you know, you can see how changed he was. And, you know, as the years went by, oh, I'm sure, you know, the Holy Ghost dwelt more and more in him. And, you know, the work that God did through him. And oh, yes, how it affected those that he came in contact with. Yes, because he allowed that process which began in him to continue. And so, praise the Lord, we're sanctified through the Holy Ghost, through sanctification of the Spirit, it says, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, praise the Lord, you know, we hear that call, but there needs to be a response, you know, if you just say, I hear you, I hear you, I hear you, and you don't do anything, what good is it going to do? The Lord expects a response. He expects us to obey the gospel. And that means that, yes, we repent. We turn from our sins, and then we obey the command to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yes, he has promised to fill us, therefore, with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord, but there's obedience that follows that call of God. And yes, because of the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, yes, that redemption that we have through his blood. Oh, that sprinkling of his blood that he shed there on the cross. So here, Peter is addressing these people. He says, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It's a wonderful thing what God has done. You know, he says abundant mercy. Oh, that mercy that is so full. It's so rich. You know, it's so overflowing. You know, the abundance of God. The deliverance by which he saves us. That mercy that he shows us. Oh, according to his abundant mercy, hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Oh, yes, we've been made alive. That hope that we have inside is lively. That means it's living. It's real, you know. It's full of vitality. Because, yes, the Spirit of God has come to dwell in our being, and therefore we have a living hope. Yes, because we have been begotten. Oh, yes, we have been born again. We've been transformed. You know, that power of God to come into our lives, to change us. You know, the need to be born again was very much emphasized by Jesus. And we know when Nicodemus came to Jesus by night there in that third chapter of John, oh, just, you know, realizing that Jesus was exceptional, you know, that he was a teacher come from God, because he understood, Nicodemus understood that no man could do these miracles that Jesus did except that God be with him. And how surprised Nicodemus must have been when Jesus said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And, you know, Nicodemus, of course, He didn't understand it. I wouldn't have understood it either, you know. He said, well, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? But Jesus answered, he said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. He had first said, you can't see the kingdom of God except you be born again. And now he's being a little more explicit. He's explaining how you're born again of the water and of the Spirit in order to enter into the kingdom of God. And then he said, that which is flesh is flesh. That which is spirit. And then he said, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Oh, yes. Nicodemus couldn't understand it at that moment. But praise the Lord, if we tasted of the good things of God, if God has touched our lives and we've been born again, oh, yes, we see, we understand. Yes, we came to him. And oh, yes. He began to regenerate us. He began to make us alive. Oh, we were born again, first of the water, and then of the Spirit of the living God. Oh, yes, those baptisms. Oh, yes, that we, oh, yes, took part of by the grace of God. Verse 8 here in John 3 says, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. And praise the Lord there on the day of Pentecost. Oh, yes, that sound of a mighty rushing wind began to come into the place where they were sitting. Oh, yes, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh, yes, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them the utterance. Oh, praise the Lord. That was a new birth coming to dwell within them. That was the Spirit of the living God coming to dwell with them. Jesus has said, I'm with you, but I'm going to be in you. And now he had come. Yes, he'd come as the Comforter to dwell in their very being, to lead and to dwell and to guide them into truth. Yes, so that they might know the way, so that they wouldn't have to walk, oh, without a leading, without guidance. Oh, yes, so they could be led by the Spirit of God and know the way. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. God taking care of all those things. But being born again. Oh, yes, we have been begotten again unto a lively hope, it says here in 1 Peter 1, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And not only that, but we have something beyond to look for. Oh, yes, look at this description here in verse 4. It says, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Oh, I just like each of those parts of that description. It's an inheritance that is not going to know corruption. You know, everything on this earth knows corruption. It knows decay. It rots. You know, it only lasts for a little time. But there's an eternal inheritance. Oh, yes, it's incorruptible. It is undefiled. Nothing spoils it. Oh, you know, it's beauty is retained forever. And it's not going to fade away. It's not going to be fleeting like all these things on this earth, you know, that, you know, last for just a moment, you know, as James told us there, you know, and that, you know, our life is but a vapor that appears for a little time, that vanisheth away. And, you know, so it is, you know, and it seems like the older we get, the more we realize how short life is. But everything on this earth has an end. All of it knows corruption and, you know, defilement, and it fades after a season. But that which is reserved for us, oh, praise the Lord, is he going to know that at all? And praise the Lord, it's no wonder, you know, Jesus Christ told us, oh yes, that we should not lay up for ourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. but rather we're to lay up our treasures in heaven, where neither rust nor where neither nothing corrupts it. You know, nothing at all. There's no rust that corrupts it, or there's no moths that, you know, eat away. But it continues. Oh, yes, that treasure in heaven. And he said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. It's no wonder he told us, yes, to lay up those treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. But that is the promise that we have. That is the hope that we have. And it is such a contrast to the things of this world. It's no wonder that Paul wrote in Colossians, that third chapter, that we were to set our affections on things above and not on things on the earth. Oh my, because yes, everything is temporal down here. Yes, there's disappointment, there's pain, there's hardships, there's losses. All kinds of things happen in this world. But God would have us to have our hope in heaven. Oh yes, that place, oh yes, that he has reserved for them that love him, that place where we will receive an inheritance that is incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away. And plus, it's reserved. It has our name on it. Reserved in heaven for you. Praise the Lord. You who are kept, it tells us in verse 5, by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And, you know, we're told in 2 Timothy that the foundation of God standeth sure, having the seal that the Lord knoweth them that are his. He knows his people. He knows them that are his. And then he said, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Oh yes, sin doesn't enter heaven. And so vital, so important that we make haste to get our hearts right with God, that we turn away from sin. Oh yes, that we abandon sin and let the Lord direct our lives. Oh yes, because he has that ability to sustain us. He has that ability to keep us through faith that he puts in our heart unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Oh yes, that, you know, the curtain goes down, the curtain of this world goes down, and there, you know, God's people stand in his presence, gathered around the throne, you know. Oh, men and women from every tribe and nation. Oh yes, how wonderful it will be there as we worship there throughout eternity. No painful goodbyes at that point, you know. Oh, no hardship, no sickness, no death. It's all going to be over there as we stand in the presence of the Lord. And, oh, yes, we know how beautiful it is when we're in God's presence. And he comes down and we can feel him and we get that new touch from him. Oh, there's nothing like it. But praise the Lord, in that day that is ahead, we will forever be with the Lord. We will forever be in his presence, you know. There's going to be no night up there. It's going to be one eternal day. That city where the Lamb is light. And praise the Lord. Oh, yes, all will be revealed at that moment. God's people will all be, yes, they'll be there. They'll be revealed in that last time. Verse 6 tells us, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Oh yes, this time of testing, it's right now. You know, these hard things are right now. You know, heaven's going to be different. But right now, we're in a test. You know, we're, you know, an endurance test, really, to see if we can withstand the pressures of the enemy. Oh, yes, all the things that try to come down on us and clobber us. But praise the Lord, God has that ability to keep us. And yes, Peter was addressing, you know, these people and knew that, yes, as human beings, we have those moments where, oh, yes, those times of trials and testing, manifold temptation, and we could be in heaviness at times. But there's something that comes forth from those trials. There's a reason the Lord allows those trials. It explains in verse 7 that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Oh, and that's what's going to matter. So, you know, even though things might be kind of hard at times, and you know, we also told that, you know, the need to glory in tribulation, as Paul wrote in Romans the 5th chapter, because tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is spread abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So there's a reason for all of that. Oh yes, the psalmist wrote that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. You know, we go through these times, they're trials, they're tests. They might be hard. We might wonder sometimes how we're ever going to make it through. But there's a result, there's an end. If we could just endure those trials, those tests, Peter said here that they were more precious than of gold that perisheth. There's an end to this. Though it be tried with fire, it means with intense heat, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Yes, that's what's going to matter when he appears. We want to be in him. We want to be found at his right hand. We want to be found with praise and honor and glory by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You know, we want to have something to give him at that moment. So that's why we have to endure hardships as a good soldier, as Paul wrote there in 2 Timothy. And then it explains in verse 8, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Oh, I love those times of refreshing when the presence of the Lord comes down. And I couldn't help but think of, oh, that time there in the 16th chapter of Acts, when Paul and Silas had been cast into prison. Oh, yes, they did deserve it. They had just been living for the Lord and, oh, doing the Lord's work, but the adversary arose. And, yes, they were beaten with many stripes. Then they were cast into prison, into the inner prison, because, yes, they were told, the jailer was told that, you know, make them secure, make them, you know, safe, because like they were, you know, hardened criminals or something. Their feet were fast in the stocks. But in spite of that, it tells us in the 16th chapter of Acts, at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. They prayed and they sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Praise the Lord. Oh, their backs had been ripped open by those stripes. They had been cast unjustly into the prison. What did they have to be thankful for? What did they have, oh yes, to worship for? Oh, they had something, because they had the Lord. And praise the Lord, they began to dwell on God, obviously. They began to pray and they began to sing praises. The prisoners heard it, but God Almighty heard it too. Oh yes, and God reacted. You know what happened? Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. Oh, that's what happened when they prayed and worshiped the Lord in spite of hardship, in spite of pain, in spite of suffering, in spite of unjust treatment. That's what God did. He sent an earthquake. Oh, yes, so the foundations of that prison was shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. And praise the Lord, you know. The keeper, I'm sure, assumed that all the prisoners had fled under that. And he was going to draw out his sword and kill himself, because he knew that if his prisoners escaped, he would be accountable for that. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, we are all here. Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Oh, the prisoner, or the jailer called for a light. He sprang in and came trembling, and fell down before Paul and Silas. Oh, brought them out, and he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Yes, God had something he was going to do. It was greater than what they had suffered. He was going to bring, oh yes, a man, his family, out of the depths of sin. Oh, there was going to be a new convert that night, in spite of all the pain and suffering. Oh yes, that jailer was going to find Jesus Christ. Paul and Silas said unto him, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." And praise the Lord, from there it says they spake unto him the word of the Lord. Oh yes, I'm sure they explained, oh yes, the gospel to this jailer and to all that were in his house. And praise the Lord, though we don't have all the details, we know that he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his household, obviously, straightway. And then he brought them into his house. He set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Oh, I'll tell you what. That's what the good news of the gospel could do. Oh, yes, those prison walls. And oh, we were all bound in chains. We were all bound in sin. But there is one that came to unloosen those chains. Oh, those things that kept us as a prisoner. Oh, the devil, a prisoner of sin. And yes, surely Jesus said, yeah, that those that serve sin, that you're the servant of sin. But the Lord has given us something greater. And that ability to rejoice because of what Jesus has done, how he has intervened in our life, how he has come unto us. Oh yes, how we've been washed by the blood of the Lamb, how we've been clothed in his righteousness. Oh, praise the Lord. Even though there are manifold trials, we can rejoice, it says, with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Oh yes, those little glimpses that he gives us of the things that are eternal, those things that are ahead of us. We get little glimpses. Oh yes, we catch a little vision of all of that. You know, you get in God's presence. And the things of this world truly do vanish when we turn our eyes upon Jesus and look full on his wonderful face. Oh yes, all the cares, all the troubles, all the struggles, they begin to vanish when we're in God's presence. Oh, what a wonderful thing it is when he comes down and fills us with that joy unspeakable and full of glory. Oh yes, the Holy Ghost that he gives us is something that we can't describe with words. Oh yes, the Lord in our lives, we could try to tell, but it's never a full description because it's so much, it's so beyond what human words could utter. But yes, expressed here as joy unspeakable. Joy that, you know, is so full that you can't tell the full of it. And it's full of glory. Praise the Lord. And yet the half has never yet been told. So here it continues in 1 Peter, that 9th verse. And then, yes, we're going through this world. We're living in this world. Yes, we have manifold trials at times. But there's an end. It says receiving the end of your faith. Oh, if we could just hold on to God. If we could just keep on walking with God. If we could just endure until the end. Oh, there's that crown of righteousness that He has promised for all them. Oh, yes. That He has called unto salvation, that end of our faith, even the salvation of our souls. But there is that endurance that is required. Yes, we can't, you know, walk with God for 20 years and then give up. And, you know, just let it all go and thinking 20 years were enough and, you know, I guess I'll be okay. No, we are in an endurance test. It's unto the end. And yes, Jesus warned in the 24th chapter of Matthew that iniquity would abound, it would grow. And He warned that the love of many would wax cold. And we have seen that. We are seeing that. Many who once knew the Lord are no longer walking with Him. And, oh, you see this carelessness. And, oh, many that, you know, don't have a real earnest desire to serve the Lord. They don't serve God with all their heart, their mind, their soul. But Jesus warned, yes, the love of many is going to wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Yes, we don't know what's ahead of us right now. We don't know what kind of tests or trials or what we might have to yet do for the cause of the Lord Jesus. But we know, yes, there's a crown that's waiting. And it's not just for us. Paul wrote of that. But it's for all those that love is appearing, all those that look for Jesus. Oh, yes, that crown that's awaiting the people of God. And then Peter goes on to say in verse 10, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Can you imagine, you know, Isaiah as he was, you know, writing of Jesus Christ and, you know, not knowing when or how it would all happen, you know, and you can imagine, you know, you'd want to know. I know Daniel wanted to know, you know, God told him these things and he wanted to know more, you know. He cried out for more. I'm sure the other prophets, oh, they inquired and they searched diligently with all their heart. They put their heart into this effort. They prophesied of the grace that should come unto us as children of God, as saints in the new covenant. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Oh, wonderful glimpses of what God was going to do. The future, yes, but they couldn't see it yet. It wasn't for their time period, yet they wrote of it, you know. Jesus said, if we could just quickly turn to Luke, the 10th chapter here for a moment. Oh, he talked of how privileged those that were alive when he came to this earth were. He said in Luke 10, verse 23, he wrote, he said, and he turned him unto his disciples and said privately, blessed are the eyes which see the things that ye see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. Oh, that earnest desire, that diligent search to, you know, just to know what they were writing of. But then, yes, there were those, yes, that were alive when Jesus was on this earth. And Jesus said to them, many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. Oh, blessed are the eyes which see the things that you see, and how we are tonight. Oh, to have this knowledge in our earthen vessels. Oh, yes, to have this concept, this knowledge, this ability. Oh, to bow our knees to God, to give our hearts to the Lord Almighty. How privileged we are. Oh, to know that God robed himself in flesh and came to this world. The Son of God is the man Christ Jesus. Yes, he came. And yes, we have that fact. We have that knowledge. But the prophets didn't know. They searched. They wondered. That Spirit of God that came upon them, as it declares in the second epistle of Peter, how the Spirit of God came upon them, and they wrote those things that they were anointed to write. But it says in verse 12 here in 1 Peter 1, verse 12, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Oh, it's a wonderful, gracious thing to be a recipient of the grace of God. That Holy Ghost baptism, yes, oh yes. Such a gift that he has given unto his people, that we might, oh yes, have the Spirit of the living God dwelling in our inner being, that we might be led by the Holy Ghost. And that's, oh yes, they foretold of it. They had a glimpse of it. And even the angels desired to look into it. Oh, that Holy Ghost that came down from heaven on the day of Pentecost. Oh, that wonderful thing. Yes, Jesus had said that he would be in his people. He gave up the ghost and he breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord, that's exactly what happened on the day of Pentecost. They received his ghost. His Spirit came to dwell in their very beings. The Spirit of the departed one, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, which was the Spirit of God, came to dwell in them. And such a gift that we have been given. Oh, so wonderful that even the angels desire to look into it. And therefore we're told here the need in verse 13, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Oh yes, when he's revealed, when this is all over, the need to gird up the loins of our mind. Oh yes, that needs to set our mind on the goal, the thing that is ahead. You know, we want to walk straight. You know, we don't want to wander to the left or right. We don't want to get sidetracked at all. There's a goal that we are to attain. And yes, that should be our aim as we walk this road of life. The things that we do, the things that we say, all our efforts should be all geared to that goal of a high calling of God in Christ Jesus, that mark of the prize of a high calling of God in Christ Jesus, as Paul described it. So we gird up the loins of our mind, and it tells us, be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Oh, when he is revealed from heaven with all his holy angels, the saints of God that have gone on in that gathering together of his elect. Then it tells us in verse 14, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts, in your ignorance. Well, I'll tell you what, we all were in ignorance, you know. And what a description here, you know, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts. It's interesting to think that they call fashion. Oh my, how hard it is to find suitable clothes in this day and age which we live, because almost all the fashions of this world are geared after lust, after the sinful ways of life of human beings, and you know that's how they're geared. And you know, if you're trying to live holy before the Lord, and you know, in accordance with His word as obedient children, there's no way you can fashion yourselves according to the former lusts. You know, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. You know, all those old things begin to fade away. And behold, all things become new. As we give our lives over to the Lord, you know, those old tendencies, those old desires, those old ways, those old looks, all of those things begin to fade as we let the Lord begin to work in us. And oh yes, there's so many things that, you know, we see through, you know, we begin to realize that's rotten. Oh, that's sinful, you know, I can't do that. I can't look like that, you know, that's of the devil. That's of the world. But the world walks after the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's how the world is geared, and that's what the passions of this world are geared toward. The Lord begins to work in us. He begins to regenerate us so that, yes, we can walk in His ways. And, oh, yes, we can be His children and not touch those filthy things, those unclean things. Oh, yes, so we can be received of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 says, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Oh yes, it's not only our spirit that becomes God's, but our body too, which is the dwelling place of the temple of the Holy Ghost. It belongs to God. We're bought with a price, a great ransom was paid that we might have eternal life, that we might be the children of God. Oh, therefore our body becomes the temple or the dwelling place of the Holy Ghost, which is in us. When we are filled with His Spirit, which ye have of God, and you are not your own. Oh, yes, for we are bought with a price. Therefore, we glorify God in our body and in our spirit, which are God's. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, those former things, they have to go. That's right, you know, the things of this world, you know, again, they have to go. I just think, you know, all the trends that, you know, one sees in their lifetime, you know, the ways of mankind, the ways of fashions, you know, they have to keep making money, I guess. So, you know, they keep on changing things. And very seldom is it a good change, you know. I just remember when I was, oh boy, young and, oh, in junior high, I believe, and even in high school, there was the miniskirt fad, and, you know, oh boy, it was really something. I guess you almost had to try to make your own clothes or, oh really, look all over to find something that was long enough if you're a girl. You know, and you know, these trends and all these fads, and you know, then came the unisex look, you know, and all at once, you know, women were putting on pantsuits and looking like guys and chopping off their hair and all that kind of thing and doing things that were abominable in the sight of God. But these are the trends, these are the fads of the human race. Oh yes, that tendency to live after lust. Oh, to do those things that are not pleasing to the Lord. You know, it's interesting in the book of Deuteronomy, you know, it was an abomination, God declared, for a woman to wear anything that pertained to a man. And it was an abomination for a man to put on anything that was a woman's. And I'll tell you, I don't know. I know we're not under the law, but has God changed that He wants women looking like men and men looking like women? And what you see these days, you know? Oh boy, sometimes you don't even know what it is, who it is. If it's a man, if it's a woman. But oh, I'll tell you what, it's time to stand in the ways and look for the old paths wherein is the good way and walk therein. Oh, God wants his people to be a separate people, to be a holy people. Oh, yes, and oh, God knows not fashioning ourselves according to the former lusts in our ignorance when we didn't know any better. But praise the Lord, the light of the gospel has shone into our hearts. Oh, yes, that sin has been exposed so we can walk in the way of the Lord. It tells us in verse 15, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be holy in all manner of conversation. Oh, yes, that separation, that holy people that God has called out of the world. Oh, yes, yeah, you know, if we're like everybody else, then we're not called out, are we? Oh, you know, if we're conforming to everybody else, then how can we say that we're transformed? How could anybody see a difference if we're just like the world, if we were like, you know, just the same as we used to be before we knew the living God? But it tells us, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be holy in all manner of conversation. And conversation doesn't mean just the way we talk, but it means our conduct. Oh, the way we conduct our lives, all manner of living should also reflect on what's inside our hearts. And he that has called us is holy, so therefore he expects us to be holy, to be separated. It says in verse 16, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. And it says in verse 17, and if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Oh, yes, there is that awesome respect for the ways of God. You know, so many people have this careless attitude and don't consider what God is expecting. But God does have expectations of his people. If he put his spirit within our inner being, then he expects that we would walk in the way that he would have us to walk. Oh, yes. Paul wrote in Philippians, the second chapter, verse 12, he said, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his own good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Oh, yes, he didn't take us out of the world. He's not going to rapture us out of this world. No, he made us to be a reflection of the light that was in Jesus Christ. He put his light within our very beings so that we could be blameless, we could be harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, walking in his holiness, walking in his purity, walking in his ways, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Oh, yes, Jesus said, ye are the light of the world. A city that is a city that is on the hill cannot be hid. You know, and so it is. If he is in us, he said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That light, oh yes, that city that is on a hill that cannot be hid. That's how God would have us to be, even though we are in the midst of a crooked and a perverse nation. He would have us to shine as lights in the world. And yes, the exhortation here was to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Oh, we're not playing a game here in this world as we walk this road of life. It's not a game that we're playing. It's a serious business. We don't know when our last day is going to come up. We don't know how many years we have to walk this life. But what we do with this short life is going to make a difference for eternity. Oh yes, either we're going to be on the right hand or we're going to be on the left. Either we're going to be a goat or we're going to be a sheep. You know, it's one way or the other. There's no in-betweens in the book of God. But praise the Lord, He made a way. Because He's going to judge this world. He's not going to have respect of persons. He's not going to say because, you know, your hair was red, because your hair was black, you know, because, you know, or this nationality or that nationality, you have special benefits. Oh, not like this world at all. But He's going to judge without respect of persons. He's going to judge every man according to his work. So the need here to pass the time of our sojourning, our stay here in fear, oh, working out our salvation with fear and trembling, you know, considering, you know, if I do that thing, if I, oh, go to that movie, if I go to that dance, if I go to that band, if I do this, I do that, I attend that party, my, you know, what reflection? How is it going to impact? You know, what's going to be the end of it? There's a lot to consider, you know, as we walk this road of life, as we, you know, make out our own salvation with fear and trembling. We're going to have to consider, you know, what the end result could be of, you know, our actions. So therefore, yes, we walk before the Lord. Oh, yes, and we want to walk with that kind of respect, that kind of knowledge, that kind of fear, so that, you know, we walk properly in His sight, so that one day when this is all over, we can stand before Him without any condemnation. Oh yes, without any fear at that moment. It explains in verse 18, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." Oh yes, things here on earth are redeemed with gold and silver, with money, with all kinds of things that are corruptible. But that's not how we attained eternal life. It wasn't with these things of earth. We weren't saved by these corruptible items at all. But it was with something much more precious. Oh yes, something, oh, so valuable, so wonderful. It was the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, that spotless Lamb of God, that one who was without blemish and without spot. Oh yes, who didn't have to take our place on the cross. He didn't have to do that. He could have called those angels, oh, those legions of angels, oh, to save Him from that hour. But there was something, oh yes, that He saw. There was something, oh yes, that was of value in the eyes of God. There was something that He wanted to redeem. Oh yes, He saw His seed and was satisfied. Jesus saw His people there on the cross. He knew that His blood that was shed was going to bring forth a people. Oh yes, a people that would give their hearts to Him, a people that would serve Him, a people that would be faithful, a people who would turn away from the world and turn to Jesus Christ. He saw His seed and was satisfied. Oh, that offering of sin. Oh yes, it was with purpose. Oh, it was for a reason. Yes, it was. Oh, yes. Because the Lord knew there was something of value that He was going after. There were a people that would be redeemed, a people that would be holy in His sight, a people that would be able to stand in His sight, a people that would reign and rule with Him throughout all eternity, a people that He could call His own sons and daughters. That precious blood of Christ is a lamb without blemish and without spot. Oh yes, taking on our sin, for He had no sin of Himself, but praise the Lord, He was buying us. He was purchasing us. Oh, He was redeeming us. Oh, we who couldn't save ourselves, we who were so worthless. But yet, that precious Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus, seeing something of value to redeem. Oh, yes, knowing that, oh, yes, there would be a people. Yes, they would call upon His name and embrace His promises and walk in faith. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. Oh, how wonderful it is. We were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from our vain conversation received by tradition from the fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And then it tells us in verse 20, who barely was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Oh, yes, this was the plan of God from the beginning. From the beginning, from the foundation of the world, He knew all of this. He knew that He was going to put on flesh and come to this world as a Savior. Oh, as a lowly servant. Oh, yes, to seek and to save those that were lost, to redeem human beings. Oh, praise the Lord, in the plan of God, foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Oh, for us, He came, yes, that He might be revealed as the Son of God, that we might know Him as Lord and Savior. Oh, yes, that we might sing that song, for He is Lord, and bow our knees to Him while we still have breath. It tells us in verse 21, who by Him to believe in God, that raised Him up from the dead and gave Him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Oh yes, we're not to look on the things of this world. They're all corruptible, you know. They're all going to fade. They're all going to vanish. They're all going to be consumed, you know. There's going to be nothing left before this is all over. Oh, only the things that are eternal will remain. Oh, yes, it's all going to be consumed. It's all going to be burnt. But the Lord made a way, who by Him to believe in God that raised Him up from the dead and gave Him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Oh, that strong love that He puts within us. You know, Jesus said, there was a new commandment that He was given them in the 13th chapter of John. And that new commandment was that we should love one another as He loved us. We should love one another. And He said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, by the love that you have one to another. And here it's being emphasized again. See that you love one another with a pure heart, fervently, strongly, intensely, you know, and with unfeigned love. That means unpretentious love, you know, not with hypocrisy, but, you know, genuine, real, true, all those things. Because He's purified our souls, we obey the truth of the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. And therefore, see that you love one another with a pure heart, fervently. And again, He says in verse 23, being born again. Oh yes, flesh and blood cannot enter into the kingdom of God. We had to be transformed. We had to be changed. We had to be born a second time. You know, Nicodemus didn't understand it at that moment. I have a feeling he did down the road, though. You know, just as we understand now, yes, the Spirit of God comes into our lives. Oh yes, so that we can be born again of the water and of the Spirit. Yes, we go down into the waters of baptism for the remission of sins, obeying that commandment to be baptized. we rise to walk in newness of life. Yes, in the Holy Ghost, baptism, yes, is a promise that we receive, yes, as joint heirs with Christ Jesus. So we're born again, not of corruptible seed. Oh, praise the Lord, it's something way better than this corruptible world that we live in. All the things that are vanishing and rotting, decaying, all of that, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, oh, something that's going to endure for everything, for always, for all eternity, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And it contrasts all this with the temporal things of life. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is a flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Oh, the Lord has given us something for all eternity. He has given us something that's incorruptible. Oh, yes, something that, yes, brings us to the Lord now, but takes us to the end of our faith, even the salvation of our soul. Oh, yes, so that we might, oh, receive that incorruptible body. Oh, that new body that He has promised His people, that crown of life that He has promised His people. Everything here on this earth is vanishing. The grass fades. The glory of man fails. It's very temporal. But there's something that's eternal. It's the word of the Lord, which endureth forever. That word that He speaks unto us. That word that He puts in our heart. Oh, yes. That eternal life that He gives us. And that was the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Oh, this gospel is something that has great value. Oh, yes, it has great worth. And, oh, it is a great treasure. Something, oh, yes, that we can all hang on to. Something that we can cherish. It not only helps us during our lifespan here on earth, but it takes us to that place in heaven. Oh, yes, it takes us to that eternal place, that place that God has prepared for them that love Him, those that look for His return. Oh, those wonderful promises of God, those eternal things. It's no wonder that John wrote in the second chapter of 1 John, love not the world, verse 15. 1 John 2, verse 15, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And how clear it is, verse 17, and the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. He that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Oh, praise the Lord. When He puts in our heart, oh, the wonderful treasure that we have in our inner being. Oh, the price that Jesus paid for our redemption by His blood. Oh, yes. The Spirit that He put within our hearts. Oh, yes, so that we could be filled with the Spirit of the living God. Oh, praise the Lord. Those things that continue beyond this life, this hope that we have beyond this life, this treasure that we have in our earthen vessels, this thing that doesn't fade away. Oh, praise the Lord. That's what God has given His people. Oh, yes, that we could walk in faith and hope. Oh, yes, that our souls could be purified by the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, yes, and we could receive that inheritance that's incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in the heaven for you. Praise the Lord, the keeping power of God. Yes, the one, oh yes, that made it possible, who called us, oh, who chose us, oh yes, who gave us his promises, who breathed in us the breath of life so that we could be filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh, praise the Lord. Wonderful joint heirs with Christ. Praise the Lord. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God. Praise the Lord. That's what we have in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. And that's what we have while everything else is temporary. Everything else is vanishing. But the word of God endureth forever. Praise the Lord. And that's the word, yes, that Peter was preaching unto them, that gospel that he brought forth. Praise the Lord in this first chapter of Peter. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, we do thank you, Lord. We do worship you, Jesus. We just thank you for those things that you reserve for them that love you, God. Those promises that are yea and amen, Lord. And I pray, oh God, that you'd help us to walk in holiness, God. Oh God, to fear thee, Lord. Oh God, to realize, oh God, that there's an end to our living here, Lord. Oh God, there's an end, oh Lord. Oh God, we are going to be responsible for the deeds that we did in the flesh. I pray, oh God, that you'd help us to walk uprightly. Oh God, just stand fast in this test of time, oh Lord, oh God, to know thee as Lord and Savior, Lord, to be able to stand before you, Lord, to receive that crown of life, oh God, all those things that you reserve for them that walk with you and live godly for you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Oh, praise God. Thank the Lord. Amen.
Praise the Lord. We are going to open our melodies of praise hymnals in closing to number 71, Joy Unspeakable, number 71. Living in the realm of grace. Jesus, and you are dismissed under prayer in Jesus' name.